Hello, everybody. Welcome to Smash Live. The game, and as you just heard, the big voice guy, his real name is Danny Say. We're on Twitch, we're on Facebook, we're on Periscope, Twitter, and YouTube as well. Chase McCabe, Pete Weber, the voice of the Nashville Predators, here with you tonight. And we're going to be joined momentarily by Stu Grimson a little later on in the show. There's Stewie.
Yes.
On in the show. By JP Dumont. So excited to catch up with a couple of Preds alums, and the Grim Reaper himself has joined. And Stu, this feels like a little bit of a reunion here with the three of us. We're missing some people, but good to have you on tonight. Stu is working on getting the sound going, so we'll give him just a second.
Yeah, that would be fair.
Yeah, as he gets everything going. I'm assuming we'll find out exactly where Stu is. I assume he is in New Jersey with NHL Network, because I thought I saw him on there last night. But, you know, Stu, of course, has spent a lot of time here in Smashville, and JP as well, and Pete, we know that these guys are going to have some stories, because that's what we like to do on this show, is tell a bunch of stories.
Absolutely. It's a story-specific show, without any question. And Stu, are you able to respond to us now?
We still...
If you ask me nicely, Pete Weber, I will respond to you. Will you ask me nicely?
I certainly will. Glad to have you in here. Now, Stu...
Good to be here.
When you first came to the Predators, you did this marvelous thing with the Fox 17 sportscaster, where you went after him out on the plaza at the arena. And I'll never forget that. I was trying to find it on YouTube. I started too late this afternoon, but I sure it is on there. How long did that take to pull off? Or in other words, folks, what Stu was going to do that night was just blister this sportscaster, who was a shall we say, somewhat challenging, Stu?
Yeah, I think so. He was a really
Skip.
Gregarious guy. Skip, is that his name? Is that
yep.
who it was?
Yep.
Yeah. Is he still, he's not still working in town,
not,
is he?
Not in Nashville, no.
Yeah, fantastic guy. You know, he came up to me. I've never been asked this by a reporter before. He said, hey, we're really excited. We just signed the Grim Reaper. Here's how I want the interview to go. And he walks me through this whole kind of stunt scene. We're going to do this mock fight. It's just hilarious. I've never done anything like it with a sportscaster. But the funny thing about it was, so Jerry Helper was, I think, our marketing / communications guy back
yes.
at the time. So fast forward to the start of training camp, because this little episode happened in the summertime at the press conference announcing my signing. Fast forward to training camp, and Jerry Helper has a session with the guys where he's kind of, you know, here's how we want to come across to the media. Here's what we want to engage with the media. And he shows this clip of me and Skip getting into it on camera. The guys were all just rolling. It was a lot of fun.
And that was right about the same time when the big billboard on the split between Broadway and West End was up. So that was, Stu, I hate to use this word right now, but that was huge impact at that time.
Well, yeah, that and it stopped traffic for miles and months after that billboard went up. Nobody used that street. Everybody did their level best to avoid that route into town, Pete, for fear of looking my ugly mug up there. And I swear to this day, I used to drive by that thing and go, I mean, did they use Jimmy Durante's nose on that poster? Because that nose does not look like my nose.
You know, and sometimes that, Stu, that just happens with the artwork that we trust the people
right.
to portray things properly. And my apologies for that if I had any role in that.
I'm sure you didn't.
Stu Grimson, the Grim Reaper, here with us on Smashville Live. So when you came to the Predators, as we're talking about these early days, that was when things were starting to build. They were starting to take off. It hadn't quite gotten there yet, obviously not to the level that it is today. But what were some of your early impressions when you walked into to Smashville before it had really become what Smashville is today?
Yeah, well, you know, I think a couple things, Chase, and it's a great question. I enjoy going back to that moment in time. I think even before I became a member of the organization, you know, I think 3 years I played in the NHL while Nashville was in the league, but before I signed there, Here's what we all came to believe about the Nashville Predators, whether I was on the, I think I was a member of the Kings and perhaps the Ducks as Nashville broke in. You know, we always said these teams, these Barry Trotz teams, they're not the most gifted. That's not the deepest roster, not by any stretch, but they are in every game that they play. And I'll tell you, for the longest time, it has remained the identity of these Nashville Predators. Trotzies seem to squeeze every last drop out of that group. And gosh, he's gone on to do some pretty impressive things. But to your point, you know, arriving in Nashville, I was really impressed with the organization itself. It was different than any other NHL experience I had had before. I was a member of a couple of original six teams. And of course they, you know, they market, they sell the game, the players to the fan base. But it's almost like when you're, you know, when you're a Detroit Red Wing or you're a Chicago Blackhawk, you put a game on the ice, the people will come see you. In Nashville during that era, you know, the players and the staff, everybody really worked hard to make sure that the people in our community, you know, understood we were thrilled to be there. We were honored to play in front of them. And we wanted to be, you know, an integral part of that community going forward. So I really think, one, that mindset remains with the Preds even today. And I think the success that that team enjoys in the Nashville market, and you guys know it's, you know, it's where I continue to make my home. It continues to be that way today. It's just, you know, on and off the ice, a really hardworking bunch.
Now, am I correct in saying, and Pete will help with this too, you played a couple of games for Crispy in Calgary, right?
I think I played a total of four games for Crispy, yeah.
So what were those four games like with the redheaded wonder as your head coach?
Is Crispy on this call? Can I speak?
No,
frankly?
No, he's not.
You can. he never watches or listens to this broadcast.
Sometimes do, I'll say that.
I'm kidding. You know what I loved about Crispy back then, and honestly, the man hasn't changed a lick other than the red hair. He's kind of frosted the tips. He's frosted the tips a little bit. But what I was really impressed about him all the way back then, and I hadn't had a lot of coaches like this. It didn't matter whether you were Mike Vernon or Stu Grimson or Jim Poplinski or Hocken Lube. Everybody got treated the same. If you weren't hitting the standard, if you weren't meeting the standard, Crispy let you know about it. But the best part about it was, you know, he said what he needed to say. He made the case, you know, here's what we need to correct. And then it was onward, it was upward from there. It was really a no-nonsense approach. Crispy was really direct. And I think, you know, that's a big part of why he had success wherever he went as a coach. Now, the fact that he only used me four games, I'll lay that off to the fact that those were big, strong, deep teams all the way back then. It was a hard roster to crack. So, you know, you can tell by the quiver in my voice, I'm mostly over that.
Mostly.
Mostly over that.
Okay.
Mostly.
Okay.
Years of intensive therapy, Pete, but I'm mostly over that.
I'll ask you both this, cause I've always been curious. David Poile and I've talked about this a little bit, but because Crispy had so much experience and he was, I know he was on the broadcast and he's going to stay out of Trotsky's way and let the coach coach, but how much of a mentorship, if any, was there between Trotsky, who was in his first gig as an NHL head coach, and Crispy that had won a Stanley Cup as a head coach? I'll let you
Pete
both.
Pete probably has a better sense of that than me. I don't know that I ever saw that in my tenure as a player or as a broadcaster, but you know, Pete, you were side by side with Crispy from the inaugural year, you know, well into the teens. So you probably speak to that better.
Well, he always told Trotsky if he wanted anything, he was there for him, but he wasn't going to impose something on Barry Trotz. And Trotsky did take advantage of that on occasion. So that was, you're in a fraternity by then. Here's a former coach, now an ex-coach working on your team's broadcast. And what a great sounding board to have. And I'm thinking about the guys who were around in the early years here too. Pierre Paget, one of your favorites too. He, he would be ex officio advisor here. And for that matter, so was Rick Bonus. So yeah. Any number of people were part of the so-called brain trust back in those days.
The one thing I will add, Chase, to that is, you know, to Pete's point, to the extent that Crispy was an advisor, you know, the game has changed a lot since the Preds broke into the business. But all the way back then, you know, Crispy's experience as a head coach, you know, as related to Trotsy's experience years later as a head coach, the game hadn't evolved all that much. It was very much an apples to apples comparison. There was still a lot of similarities in terms of the way the game was played and in terms of the culture. So I'm sure Crispy had lots of relevant anecdotal stuff to offer just based on, you know, the experience he'd had over time.
There's no question that that was the case. And so some of those post-game discussions, which were in, shall we say, after-hours clubs, were very informal. And
do you mean to say at the late-night bingo parlor?
Yes, the late-night bingo parlor. And that's some place that I hold sacred. Being a Catholic, bingo is very, very important.
Exactly.
Oh man! Well,
did we get you flummoxed there, Chase?
A little bit. We'll take a quick break. It's Chase McCabe, Stu Grimson, Pete Weber here with you on Smashville Live. We'll hear from JP Dumont a little later on in the show here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Yes, it is Smashville Live here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're presented by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine. In Bellevue, Chase McKay, Pete Weber, the Grim Reaper, Stu Grimson of the NHL Network. And Stu, I want to go to that. What has it been like of, you know, obviously when you were here, you covered one team, and so you could focus on the Nashville Predators, but now you're covering the whole league. So what was that transition like of going from a local broadcast to a national platform?
Sorry, Chase, I got distracted. You guys came back with Led Zeppelin, When the Levee Breaks. You are scratching me right where I itch. I got distracted by that amazing track.
It's all good. Love Led Zeppelin.
We share that. Hey, you know, it's not an absolute answer. I so enjoyed the time I spent covering the Preds, riding alongside this gentleman and one of the other boxes we're looking at here, Pete Weber. My first foray into TV as a color broadcaster, and that was a phenomenal experience. I so enjoyed the opportunity of work within the Predators organization, certainly an organization that, you know, I spent some time with as a player. I really do miss this part about it. One, the people that I worked with. Number two, you know, it's really interesting from a broadcaster's perspective. When you get to cover just one team, you know their stories inside and out, the good, the bad, the in-between. And, you know, somebody asks you about them, you jump on a radio, you know, 15-minute broadcast with somebody from out of town. You know their story without having to look at a note or anything online. I really miss that about covering just one team. I will say, though, now that I've, you know, had a chance to, for, I guess, a handful of years almost to this point, working on the NHL Network, one, again, I've stumbled into a situation where I work with phenomenal people. They're very gifted. They're very creative. And I really do enjoy the ability, because the way my schedule works, Chase, and this is true of the dozen or so analysts we have up here at the network. So we live all over North America, Canada and the U.S., and we cycle through here like twice a month when hockey's playing under normal conditions. I'll come up and I'll work four or five dates at a time. I'm here on a longer stretch this time around. But so I'm here for four or five days. I go back to Nashville, and then I've got a, you know, a host of other interests that I'm involved in. I love that flexibility. I really do enjoy that flexibility. So the ability to kind of, one, work with the network, be on television, talk about hockey, keep a, you know, a foot in the hockey side of things is great. And then I get to be involved in a lot of other things that I choose to do outside of that. And I really feel like I've struck a good balance. So I really like where I'm at.
Well, I want to hearken back to one great night, Stu. It was the Guns and Hoses game, the fire department against the police. And you ripped one from the top of the right circle. I don't know if that goaltender has seen it yet.
Pete, every now and then, even a blind squirrel gets the acorn. And that's what happened on that night, even against the Firemen. Yeah, those are great games. I miss those. Those are a lot of fun. Can I tell you one of my favorite stories? And you may want to ask your next guest about it. So we were playing in a Guns and Hoses game. J.P. Dumont was I think he was on my side. And anyways, we had a group of guys. I think they were in from Chicago. The Nashville Fire Department was playing, and we hosted a group in from Chicago. So we Preds, ex-Predators, divided up on the two teams. Some played for Nashville, some played for Chicago. And we were blowing out the Chicago guys for whatever reason. We were just having our way with them. And JP is always, as I remembered, he's playing for the other side. So he's playing with the Chicago guys. JP is always very deferential too. When you're playing with amateur guys, you know, give them the puck, let them shoot. But they're down about 4 or 5 goals. So the chief of the fire department on my side skates over to me and goes, "Hey, tell your buddy JP, like, he should start shooting. Like, they're really sucking bad. Like, the Chicago guys are not going to come back if we don't, you know, if they don't get this close." So I tell JP this. He comes down the ice in 3 separate rushes, bang, 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 like this, over the top shoulder on the blocker side, over the top shoulder on the, through the 5-hole. He zipped 3 in no time, and all of a sudden the Chicago guys are high-stepping, and they're right back in the game. It was amazing. Even 10 years removed from the game, or maybe it was more at that point, JP could still zip it around.
That's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Great to hear, because you guys can actually have fun in those games. Now, when you were with Hartford, did you ever witness one of those nights when Gordy was out there in games like that? Because I've heard so many stories. Okay. Because yeah, Mark Howe has told me so
gone.
Many.
Yeah, Gordy was gone before I got there, regretfully. But I was there just 1 year. I was there the last year Hartford played in Connecticut, and then the first year they were in Carolina. So I missed Gordy by a couple of years.
Yeah, because when I really first met Stu was in the studios at ESPN when doing the old NHL Tonight show.
That's right. Our season wrapped up early that year, and because I was in Hartford, I can't remember how they got to me, but somebody from ESPN got to me, and I jumped on with Barry.
Yeah.
And Pete, you will remember it. Oh, I can't remember the host he was on with.
John Butchergrass?
No, it wasn't John. I can't recall. Recall for the life of me. But anyway, it was a fun experience. Probably would have been my first television experience as a broadcaster, as it were.
Yeah.
One thing, Stu, that you did when you were here as a broadcaster is, since the organization had gotten older and actually had gone through enough cycles that it had alums, you were able to put together some alumni events and an alumni game. Phil Housley was even playing in it as a coach. He just, you know, who didn't want to see Phil Housley play? But kind of what went into that of, helping put some of that stuff together?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. That was one of my chief initiatives when I, first signed on to the broadcast team with the Preds. I kind of headed up the alumni at the same time, as you say, Chase. And it was such a neat experience to have, a professional reason to reach out to all these former Preds, many of whom were my teammates. And, I think the thing that was so overwhelming to me is, one, when they came back, it was really good to see them, really great to reconnect. But to a man, everybody came back, all these guys came from out of town. And to a man, in many cases, the wives, they would say, "Boy, did we make a mistake. We should have bought a house. We should have stayed in Nashville." And guys like Hal Gill actually did end up circling around and coming back. But to a person, there isn't, and whether the teams were competitive or whether the teams struggled, it didn't really matter. Everybody had a great experience in Nashville. That theme to today, it's universal. Speaks volumes about the organization, the city, and the people inside it.
Stu, was that one game with St. Louis where I think we knocked heads together and decided to trade Mike Sillinger during the course of that game?
That's right. So silly. For folks that don't remember, Mike Sillinger holds the not-so-distinguished prize for being traded or a member of, what is it, Pete? You'll know. Is it 11 teams? 12 teams?
I think it was 11.
11 teams. So St. Louis came in to play an alumni game. And of course, Silly had played for both Nashville and St. Louis. So yeah, I think there was, you know, an entertainment purpose behind that.
Yes.
To trade Silly back to St. Louis from Nashville. And I think he was really sucking that night. I think he was terrible. So I think there was like a professional reason to trade him back too.
Yes.
He was sucking and he needed to go somewhere else.
I think David Poile agreed with the move.
My favorite was
sometimes you just got to shake things up. Got to shake things up.
So Stu, as we wrap up your portion, it's been a lot of fun telling stories. I will have you play analysts for a second. When you see this team from afar and you hear the comments that come out of the players, and we have Matt Duchesne on our morning show every week. We talk to David Poile on the midday show every week, and everyone's frustrated. It's there's no secret that things are not going the way that they want. But from the 10,000 foot view, what do you see with this team right now?
Yeah. You know, I think it's a difficult thing for me to judge. And I'm not, I hope this doesn't come across like a cop out, Chase, but I thought Nashville in the first half a dozen, eight games was kind of on the cusp. Yes, they didn't, you know, get off to a gangbusters start or anything like that. But there were some games that I really saw flashes of the kind of hockey this group is capable of playing. And so, again, they're kind of teetering on this. Is this a strong year? Is this a not so strong year? And then Ryan Johansson goes down. And now I'm at a situation where it's really hard to evaluate this team because with the exception of Philip Forsberg and Victor Arvidsson, everybody on the forward core is sitting in somebody else's seat, is kind of playing out of, you know, their optimal place on the roster. And I just don't think you get a good sense of where this group is at. Now, I don't know how far Ryan is from returning, but I would want to see Ryan back in the mix for six or so games because there's no question. You know, he's got better hockey in him. Dutchie's got better hockey in him. They all got better hockey in him from the goaltender on out. But I would want to see this group with their, you know, their number one center back in the mix before I ever really kind of drew a line in the sand as to what they look like, what the season holds for them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And Ryan Johansson has been skating. David Poile told us yesterday that he felt like it would be more next week when they get a lot of guys back.
Good.
That is, you know, that's kind of where they're at with the injury standpoint. So we'll see. It's just, after the last few years, it's obviously a weird place to be, but this team has talent. So we'll see how it all shakes out. Stu, it is fantastic to see you and catch up with you. We always appreciate it when you come on with us, but definitely miss seeing you on a regular basis and glad you could do this tonight.
Well, thanks very much. It's been my pleasure to be a part of it. I've hit a personal high today. I've been running a list here. This is my sixth Zoom call today. I think I've set a new personal best. My brain is pretty much empty, but I think I have successfully set a new personal high. Six Zoom calls today.
Well,
oh man, thank you for this one.
Yeah,
there's a lot of fun. Thank you, Chase. Thank you, Pete.
You take care, Stu.
Stu Grimson of the NHL Network, and of course, former Predator as well. Pete and I will come back in just a few minutes with another former Pred, JP Dumont. That is up next here on Smashville Live, ESPN 102.5, The Game. It is Smashville Live here on ESPN 102.5, The Game. We're streaming on the Game Nashville app and also on Twitch and YouTube and Facebook and Periscope, all of the above.
Pravda.
Yes. What? lots of things.
Yes.
Keith McKay, Pete Weber, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Red Spirits and Wine. And we are pleased to be joined. Paul McCann's listening. I can't do this justice, but J.P. Dumont.
So yes.
Hope that works out. J.P., how you doing?
I'm really good. Thank you, guys.
Coach?
Are you well-rested?
Yeah. You know, went to bed late last night, but I had a good night's sleep. I didn't have to get up to go on the ice this morning. So I got my rest. I'm all good.
Good.
How many teams in all are you coaching right now?
Like I said, just the U15 junior preds and NBA. We have one final game this Wednesday. This was supposed to be tonight, actually, but got postponed to next week. So, you know, and after that, we'll start all over again and coaching my daughter's softball team and, you know, and some hockey during the spring.
Maybe we should come back out next Wednesday and do another NBA game.
Oh, yeah, that will be good. You guys are really a good luck for us. It was a lot of fun. And, yeah, like it was definitely a great experience for, you know, both teams on the ice, Father Ryan and NBA. Like, you know, that was a fun night.
Yeah. Now the Predators obviously have experienced this recently with having some games postponed because of weather. And now they've, you know, had a few days extra to think about things. What's it like now that you're a coach that, you know, you were ready to go, your team was ready to go, and now you got to put it off for another week and think about it a little bit more?
Yeah, it's definitely a little different, especially, like I said, you know, I mean, it's a championship game. You know what I mean? Like, you guys were pretty excited. You know what I mean? Like, we had to deal with a little self-quarantine before game one. So, like, you know, we're not able to get on the ice only once before the game. So, like, you know, we're kind of back in the groove and now this happened, you know, I mean, with the rink closed as well. So, like, you know, I mean, like, I'm not quite sure if some of the players, you know, with their travel team or was able to get on the ice. But as far as I know, you know, I mean, it's another week of, you know, and it's for both teams. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not, you know, let's not use that as an excuse. You know, both teams are going through the same, you know, same issues right now. So, but obviously, like, I remember as a player, you know what I mean? Like, you know, you want to get back at it right away. You know what I mean? So, you know, just as a coach, it's a little bit different. You know what I mean? Like, in the NHL, like, you know what I mean? You can use those days, hopefully, if you have the ice available, is to work, you know, on a few things that you want to work on. But I don't know if that was the case with the Preds. I don't know if they were in Dallas already. Like, you know, and I was in Colorado myself, so I knew the games were postponed, but I don't know if they were there, you know, like physically there. And oh, they were okay. So hopefully they were able to get on the ice and you know, and get some practice time.
They were about to go out for warmups, right, Pete?
We were doing the pregame show. We had started the pregame show already. Then all of a sudden, here came a tweet, and there came a tweet that the game might be postponed. And then about 7-8 minutes later, it was. So that's how close it was. And then they didn't take long to postpone the game on Tuesday night. And now Dallas was scheduled again tonight. And that has been, rather for tomorrow, and that one was postponed as well. So Dallas having a horrible time with basically the power grid and all the problems that calls. Heat, communication, all of that falling off by the side because of something that they're not that accustomed to. JP, where you grew up, a little bit different. And where, you know, I was for 20 years in Buffalo, we kind of know what to do with that stuff. But when you're in an area that's not accustomed to it, it's very, very difficult.
Oh, definitely. You know, finding a shovel or, like, you know, even like warm clothes, gloves, scarf, you know, and me like it. And, you know, the stuff, like, you know, I mean, like the little things that, you know, like you said, like, you know, took it for granted, you know, salt, you know what I mean? Like to put on your driveway, on your stairs, you know, when you're coming out of your house, you know what I mean? Like, I'm pretty sure that's, you know, in Nashville, in Dallas right now, there's, you know, in Tennessee, there's a lot of people that went down pretty hard and try to get out of their house, probably going down the stairs because, you know, like, especially with the black ice, right? You know what I mean? Like, you don't really see that ice, like, on the ground, right. And it's really dangerous. But, you know, growing up, like, you know, we, like I said to my kids, they don't believe it, but, like, you know, the salt, you know, we carry salt in the car, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, in case we get stuck somewhere parking, the chain, you know, to put on the tires, you know what I mean? Like,
even a burlap bag. That, even a burlap, you know, bag, I mean, to put under your tire, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Try to
do that. You know what I mean? Like, always have your wipers, you know, on, you know what I mean? Like, not on, but, like, you know, elevated so, like, they don't freeze over your windows and a lot of little stuff like that that, you know, like I said, when I get back last night around 3 a.m, you know what I mean? And I was really lucky that, you know, one of the parents on my team, you know, I said thank you. I don't know many times and I want to say thank you again, but give me a ride home. But, like, left me because I didn't want him to drive into my neighborhood because I know the streets were going to be really bad and icy. So I walked the last 10 minutes and I could tell, like, you know, there was a few people trying to leave their driveway with, you know, like with really nice cars, but no four wheel drive on the side of the road. So
how frosty did that walk get for you, JP?
You know what? Like I said, like it's, you know, I love Tennessee. I love Nashville. You know what I mean? But like, I'm a cold guy. Like, you know, I love my hotel room at 60, you know what I mean? I like it cold, you know what I mean? So like, I don't know what I'm doing in Nashville. Like, tell the truth, I like it cold. So like, you know what I mean? That walk for me was just, I really enjoy it. You know, it was 3 a.m. I'm not going to lie to you. It was quiet. You know what I mean? Like it was like white with the lights and the trees. Was really peaceful.
Now, there you go, Chase. That explains why he spends all his time coaching hockey teams in a rink.
Yeah, he likes it cold. Now, JP, we had Stu Grimson on before you, and he kind of set up a story. I'm going to let Pete take it from here that involved you, see if you remember this.
So you guys were playing the Chicago Police or the Nashville Police, and you and Stu were on different teams.
Yeah.
And evidently – the Chicago team was not doing too well. And they said, Stu, go ahead, tell JP, maybe he should shoot more. And that sort of kickstarted you into like 3 quick goals.
Yeah. And almost a nice comeback too. But yeah, I remember that game was at Bridgestone. And usually, like I said, when I play in those games, I really enjoy those games, but like, I'm really trying to get like, you know, like everybody a goal, right? I'm looking to be like, you know what I mean, like the back door or like, you know what I mean, like to make a pass so that they can go in a breakaway and I remember like every time coming back to the bench, my own teammates was like, dude, don't pass it to me. Like, I'm not good. You know? And I was like, come on, we're just here to have fun. And it was like, no, we're not here to have fun. We're here to win. You know what I mean? And I was like, oh, okay. You know, but I was still just like trying to take it easy. And I remember Stu said like, hey, you know, even my team said like, you know what, they're challenging you almost like to score a few goals so that, you know, the game can get close again, you know? And so I was like, oh, okay. You know what I mean? So the next shift I went on the ice and I think I don't know, like it was maybe 2 or 3 right in a row, like, you know, 3 quick goals in a row, like just to get the game close again. And yeah, I really enjoy those games. You know what I mean? Like I said, like, especially when it's for a great cause and you know what I mean? Like it's not as, you know, not only fun, but like I said, you know what I mean? Like it's for a good cause. So, but I remember those wrist shot, that goalie, because he was, their goalie was pretty upset too, because I wasn't shooting. Right. So like, he was like, he wanted me to shoot. And, you know, I made a joke. I was like, trust me, you don't want me to shoot. Right. I was playing the game with him. It's like, you don't want me to shoot. You know what I mean? And he was like, no, shoot. So when I start shooting those 3 shots, I remember he's like, okay, maybe now like you can start passing again. So, but that was a lot of fun. It was a fun night.
I love watching those games. I really do. And I was not aware of the story until tonight. And then I'm thinking back to having watched that game. What got into JP? And now I know.
And now you know the rest of the story, right, Pete?
Yeah, exactly.
So JP, we've, you know, obviously gotten to work together some. You've done a little bit of the media side. So what's that been like of being able to transition from playing and coaching and then doing some of the radio and TV stuff as well?
Oh, I really enjoy that. You know, I was quite nervous a little bit, like, you know what I mean? But, like I said, I really feel comfortable, with hockey, you know what I mean? Like, so like, yeah, it just come, you know, naturally, you know what I mean? So like, obviously, you know what I mean? I know I have to work on my accent, you know what I mean? Like a little bit when I'm live, you know what I mean? Like, I'm joking, guys.
Thank you.
That doesn't go away, trust me. But I know I really enjoy that part. It was strange, you know what I mean? Because right now it's a little bit different, you know what I mean? Because I'm watching the Preds, you know what I mean? And the lineup, obviously there's, you know, the guys that I play with and, you know what I mean? It's Pekka, right? You know what I mean? And that like, you know, like Ryan Ellis and UC, they were there at training camp, you know, like, so those are the only guy that I kind of like, you know, play with or like, you know, being around with. So like, it's a little bit easier. I remember right away when I retired, right, I did a game and that was a little bit awkward for me. Like, you know what I mean? Like to get out there and those guys, like, you know, I just finished playing with them and, you know, I remember it was a tough game, like, you know what I mean? And And I'm like, man, I don't want to say anything bad. You know what I mean? Like, or like, not bad, but like something that, you know, they're going to say like, dude, like you were with me, with us last year, right? Exactly. It's like, what are you doing? You know what I mean? Like, and I understand a little bit more now, like the position you guys are in sometimes, you know what I mean? Like, because I know even me, like myself, like, I'll tell the truth when as a player, sometime after a game that I know that, you know, like the game didn't go my way, you know what I mean? And, you know, the reporter came and asked some question and I'm like, dude, you know what I mean? Like, what are you doing? You know what I mean? Like, but exactly. I know, you know what I mean? Like, I know what you guys are doing, you know what I mean? But back then, like I said, when I was a player, like sometimes it's just hard right after a game, you know what I mean? Like, you know that, you know, you should have done better or like, you know, like my job was to produce offensively and like, you know, and we get blank or something like that. You know what I mean? I take it personal as a player, right? You know what I mean? Like, and everybody does that. All the players are doing that right now. And obviously with everything's going on this year, I know that, you know what I mean? A lot of players taking, you know, putting a lot of, you know, I won't say not success. You know what I mean? Like, I think we're still okay. I know it's early in the season and we don't want to hit the panic mode, but like, you know, a lot of guys are putting a lot of pressure on their shoulders and, you know, like, and when you do that, it doesn't help either. You know what I mean? Like you got to find, you know, the balance, right. You know what I mean? Like, to be able to like, you know, to challenge yourself, you know, but at the same time, like you don't want to do everything on your own. You know what I mean? Like hockey is, you know, that's why it's a beautiful sport, right? You know what I mean? It's a team sport. You know, like you need everyone to have some good games. I know you need 20 guys on the ice dressed, ready to go.
He is JP Dumont, Chase McKay, Pete Weber here with you on Smashville Live. We're presented by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine. We'll have much more coming here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It is Smashville Live here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, presented by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Red Spirits and Wine. Chase McKay, Pete Weber, and JP Dumont, our guests on this edition. And so we were talking during the break of my early days as a fan before I was media and would go to games. And, you know, admittedly, like a lot of people in this town, and that's, I guess, the biggest part of the subject is how it's grown, how the fan support has grown. I'd been to a couple of games. I went to one game in the second season. It was a Tuesday night against San Jose. Wasn't a lot of people there, people still learning. But as you guys got better and were winning and going to the playoffs, obviously that brings more attention. And so a buddy of mine had season tickets, took me to a game. This was probably 07, 08. And at that point, I knew, you know, I was learning the players and their background. And like I pretty much knew the roster. I just didn't know much about, you know, the people. And I'm kind of learning who's good, who's not. Radulov was a rookie, I think, or maybe a second year. But you guys were playing the Phoenix Coyotes. Gretzky was on the bench, was their head coach. And I'm sitting there and I'm asking my buddy all these questions. I'm like, all right, so who's like our main guy? I know Steve Sullivan, but who's like the stud guy to watch? And he said, watch 71. He's leading the team in points. He's leading the team in goals. His name's JP Dumont. He's the guy to watch. And so I'm watching you the whole game. And I think you scored a goal. I can't remember, but that was kind of how I was learning and how a lot of fans, you know, in those days after the rally and, you know, the ownership change, they were learning. So I tell you that story because I just, what was it like witnessing it firsthand to see the fan base learn about this team and learn who you were and all you guys were, and then to see it now?
Oh, it's amazing. You know, obviously, like I said, I came, you know, from Buffalo, obviously was a different market. You know what I mean? Like, you know, so when I got to Nashville, I remember that right away in 06, you know what I mean? Like I'm looking at our lineup and, Paul Kariya, Hall of Famer, you know what I mean? Like, and the rest of the guys, like you mentioned, Steve Sullivan, you know, Jason Arna. You know, I didn't know much about David Legwine, you know what I mean? Like, obviously, I knew he was a first-round pick, but you know what I mean? Like, the guys coming in, the big names, like, you know, Kimmo Timonen, Zidlicky, you know what I mean? Like, we find out pretty quick with Ryan Suter and Shea Weber, you know, that was really quick to find out about those guys. But you're right, you know what I mean? So we came, and when I came in, you know what I mean? Like, I remember, like, you know, going to the mall, restaurant, you know what I mean? Like, and people will just... don't know. Well, you know what I mean? Like when I was in Buffalo, like you know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to lie to you, it was pretty hard to go do the grocery or, like, you know, go to a restaurant because people recognize you everywhere. And then when I got to Nashville, I thought it was like, okay, that's cool. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, maybe they just, like, you know, play, like, you know, the nice fans. They don't want to, you know, take pictures or anything like that. But I was literally, like, you know, people were just not sure about hockey. You know what I mean? And it grew, you know what I mean? And obviously, like, you can tell, like, you know, with the rinks and, like, you know what I mean? Like, all, like, you know, not just in Nashville, but, like, everyone in Tennessee. Or even when I travel a lot right now with youth hockey. And I see a lot of people with, like, Predators hat or, like, you know, like, sweatshirt and stuff like that. So it's pretty cool to see how much, like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, it changed everything for Nashville. And obviously, you mentioned it, you know what I mean? Like, you know, when you go to the playoff, you know, it definitely, the excitement is bigger, you know what I mean? Like, it's go nationwide, you know what I mean? Like, and that run in 2017, it was just a huge, huge help, you know what I mean? Like, for me as a, you know, with the youth hockey, because that just, like, made so many more kids wants to be involved with hockey now in Nashville just because of those, in those runs. But, you know what I mean? Like, the success of the Predators is definitely a big, a big key of, you know, youth hockey. But, like, my first year here in Nashville was a lot of fun though. And you mentioned about, like, you know, you mentioned really quick about, like, you know, like, you didn't know, like, who was besides Steve Sullivan. And I do have a pretty funny story. So, like, in 2006, when I got to Nashville, I remember, I'm going to the mall. And I was with my daughter at the children's place, you know, to buy her like a t-shirt or something. And there was the girl at the kiosk, like, you know, and she is like, oh man, like, you know, they, I don't know, did anyone ever tell you that you really look like JP Dumont? And I'm like, and I remember saying like, oh, like I thought, like, you know, I wasn't sure how to do it. You know, and I was like, oh, really? And she's like, yeah, like, you know, you really look like, I was like, oh. I was like, yeah, I get that a lot. But in my head, right, I just came from Buffalo. Like, I thought she was just, like, you know, like, playing with me because,
yes.
You know what I mean? Like, I never, like, so I was like, yeah, like, I get that a lot. And I remember playing with my credit card. And she was like, yeah, you have the same name, too. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. Like, she's not kidding. She didn't recognize me. And that was so funny because I went after that one and she gave me my credit card. And she looked at me and she's like, oh, my God. I was like, you're him, right? I was like, yeah, that's me. You know what I mean? But, like, that's what it was in Nashville.
Yeah.
That's just a great story, like, to think about. You look just like J.P. Dumont. I mean? Like, yeah.
Since 2006, when I got here, the fan base. Yeah, not anymore, but I used to. Yeah, I used to get that. But this is something that always amazed me. when I got to Nashville, like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, especially, like I said, with the ownership issue back in the days until we have, you know, like the group of, you know, from Nashville to get back and to make sure the team stayed here. You know, I definitely didn't want to move to Hamilton. Let me tell you that. Yes. But when that happened, you can tell, like, you know what I mean? Like, the fan base was always there. And, you know, that's why I think I really saved Nashville, like the Predators, to stay in Nashville is, you know, the city just come, you know, and support the team.
You were on that team in 2007, 2008, after that transition. What do you remember of the night, that game against St. Louis coming down the stretch in 2008, when the fans all of a sudden gave you a spontaneous standing ovation, trying to will you on for another goal or two to beat the Blues?
It's still something, like I said, when I talk about it, like, you know, like, giving the goosebumps, you know what I mean? Like, because at that time, like I said, like, you know what I mean? Like, when it happened, like, we had no idea. Like, I'm not going to, like, I remember, like we're looking at each other and like, so, like, you know, okay, who's here? Like, you know what I mean? Like, Vince Gill, Taylor Swift, like, you know, like, Carrie Underwood, who's at the game? Like, you know, why is everybody up, like, you know, and making so much noise, right? You know what I mean? Like, but like looking, like, you know, after that, we're looking around and everybody was just going and it was so loud. And it literally, it's almost like somebody give you a shot of adrenaline. You know what I mean? Like, we just, you know, like drinking a Red Bull and two coffee, like, you know, it just give you a boost. It was amazing. And obviously, like I said, like, you know, like people in Nashville, like, you know what I mean? Like, are so proud of their team. You know what I mean? Like, so proud of, like, people. And I remember after the games, like, that's all we've been talking about with the media and everything like that. And it's began, like, you know, to be, like, you know, something, like, you know, been doing at every game. You know what I mean? Like, just to show, like, you know, the support from the city. But that moment was, like, was pretty special. You know what I mean? Because, you know, once in a while after a big goal, you know what I mean? Like, or something, and over time you hear it. But, like, you know, at that moment, you know what I mean? Like, it came, like, I would like to know who really started it. You know what I mean? Like, because it started really, like, boom, and everybody got on. You know what I mean? Like, it was amazing.
Well, absolutely it was. And it's fun to go down memory lane. I wish we had more time. But, JP, best of luck with coaching and winning championships there. But appreciate you taking the time to join us tonight.
Oh, my pleasure, guys. And you guys stay safe, please.
Absolutely. Good luck next Wednesday.
Thank you.
Pete. We'll hear you tomorrow night on the call. Yes. The Columbus Blue Jackets. Appreciate it, as always, from you.
We have it written down in pencil. Remember, we have to be that way these days.
For Pete Weber, for JP Dumont, for Stu Grimson, thanks for joining us here tonight. Appreciate New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Red Spirits and Wine for being part of our program. But stick around. Slapshot Radio with Paul and Company. That is all next here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.